WBGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, Irish fans. This is Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me are my brother Ed Sullivan, and from ND Nation, Mike Coffey. We're going to spend about 15 minutes previewing Notre Dame's upcoming game against Stanford this Saturday night. And we'll talk a little Irish basketball as Mike Coffey is recently returned from the Austin Carr Hall of Fame induction ceremony, so we want to check in with Mike on that. If you have any questions or comments on Dome and Domer, drop us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or post a comment on our website, domeanddomer.com. Okay, guys, the Irish head into the season finale. Part of me, despite how bad this season's been, part of me is a little sad to see the end of the season come. I know that's probably a crazy thought, but I don't
that's
like
– crazy.
Isn't that crazy? I know. You'd think I would have had enough, but I just
– I'm sad to see my root canal operations end too, you know.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm hopeful for the future, and so I want to see more of these young guys. I want to see more Jimmy Clausen and Armando Allen and Duval Kamara and, Golden Tate. I want to see more of these guys, so I'm optimistic about the future. And this game, really, against Stanford, is a game about the future, I think. That's kind of my take on this game. Clearly, there's no present that we're really playing for, but I think this game has a lot to say about the future of the program. Am I overplaying the significance of Notre Dame versus Stanford this Saturday? Ed, what do you think?
I think you are. Frankly, Stanford has struggled a little bit this year, but played better than us. I think that I'm not sure there's much significance to this game. Honestly, if we go out and get our butts whipped, I don't come away from saying, as each week has gone on, I think, among the Irish faithful, oh, my God, there's no improvement. Oh, my God, there's no improvement. You know, things like that. I don't put a lot of stock in this game. I really don't. This season is in the books. It's bad. It's going to be bad whether we win or whether we lose.
Mike Coffey.
Well, I kind of agree, although I think it'd be much worse, I think, if we lost than if we won. I certainly would rather see, as dopey as this may sound, I'd rather see a 3-win season than a 2-win season, especially if it meant we went into the offseason with 2 wins in a row, 1 away from home, and just showed a little bit of something. I agree that we're probably not going to learn a lot about this team, whether they win or they lose. We've got 11 games in the books already. I doubt they're going to show us anything we haven't already seen, but I'd like to see it just from a momentum standpoint and going into the off season with a good feeling.
And that's what I'm speaking of too. I agree that this is not going to be the kind of game where suddenly we see, hey, the offensive line really was good. No, we know that they weren't. Okay, but it for those intangible things about momentum for the program, about having something positive heading into off-season workouts in the last 2 months of recruiting, being on the West Coast, if we play well and beat the team that beat Southern Cal, nothing is really going to salvage this season, right? We all agree on that. But as you're trying to lock up the recruiting class and Dane Crist and others on the West Coast, it certainly is not going to hurt to look good and play well and win.
I would agree with that. I think if they can put together a win with the youngsters contributing strongly, that really gives Charlie Weiss and his coaches the ability to point out, say, hey, look, this is what the future is going to be, and you can be a part of this
exactly.
Future. I'm not totally worked up over losing the class. I think if this recruiting class, if these recruits haven't seen something to scare them yet, I really don't know what they could possibly see this Saturday that's suddenly going to scare them. I mean, this team this season, as we've said, is a known commodity, and I really doubt that the recruits are going to be any more turned on or off than they already have been with 11 games already.
Well, I'm not getting...
Yeah, any recruit that bails on us because of a Stanford loss, I don't want that.
I agree with you. And I'm knocking on wood here. Nobody can see me doing that. But I hope you're right. At the same time, maybe somebody is wavering because of the way this season goes. And what if we go out there and, I mean, get it handed to us 40-10? I mean, you know, anything is possible with this team, don't you think? I mean, we could go out and play well and win, or we can get blown out. And a blowout loss, I just might be the type of thing that pushes some people who are wavering. I don't know. But I will say that I think there is a lot to be said for these young guys going out and having some success and having that as the foundation for them to build on heading into the spring. Doesn't this team need to learn how to win? Don't you think that they're not going to flip the switch on come next September and suddenly be a team that knows how to win? And part of that education, I think, takes place Saturday night.
I think for the youngsters especially, as I said, if they can put together any kind of a win with a lot of contributions from the younger guys, especially on the offensive line and the two freshman linebackers and Ian Williams right there in the middle, that is a good, strong part of their education, that they can not only win a game, that they experienced the win last week. Well, this week they're going to have to win away from home. And Charlie's been on the record saying that's the Duke game was about the seniors. This game's going to be about the future. So I would imagine we're going to see a lot of the young guys expected to step up and perform. And
a couple of those names there in the middle of the defense with Williams and Neal and Smith. I like those three guys a lot, particularly Ian Williams. And Pat, it's not like Pat Koontz has played poorly this year, but Ian Williams is a guy that you could see a real huge upside for. In the limited time he's had, he's been very productive on the defensive line. And those three guys are exciting football players. But not to overplay this comparison too much, it's really hard to go back and compare a moment in Notre Dame history and say, well, this is that moment all over again. But you look at the Southern Cal game in 86, and that team goes into the Coliseum at 4-6, and that's a huge game for the program. You know, 4-7 at the time would have been the worst year since 1963, and you know, most losses and all that. And they were able to find a way to win that game. As we all know, John Carney kicks the field goal. And then flashback to another last game of the year, meaningless last game at Syracuse, Willingham's second year. And that game was a indicator of the direction of the program. I don't know if this game is that. I kind of feel like it is. And as I said, I don't want to overplay that comparison. But to me, this game really does represent, do we have something to hang our hat on going into the offseason, and what direction are we headed in? So let's talk about the particular matchups. Some of the things that Stanford does well is they rush the passer. And in terms of our ability to win, I think it really – it depends on our ability to protect the passer. You know, looking at what Stanford did against SC, what was their recipe? Mike Coffey, give us a little synopsis of what was their recipe for how they beat Southern Cal.
Well, the way they beat Southern Cal, at least on offense, was their quarterback, Pritchard, he's a very, very mobile guy. And if Notre Dame can force him to be a stand in the pocket, look for receivers, quarterback, Stanford is going to have a very difficult time winning because he's not that kind of quarterback. So what becomes crucial is that the freshman outside linebackers who've been playing well, keep the containment. Don't let the guy get outside or sneak through, because that's how they were keeping drives alive against Southern Cal. Like, busted plays, looked like they weren't going anywhere. All of a sudden, Pritchard squirts out, gets 8 or 9
well,
yards.
Well, I tell you, that's a difficult assignment to draw for the defense, because – I mean, you want to get pressure on the quarterback, and you can't give somebody time to sit there and pick apart your secondary. Anybody given time can pick apart a secondary. And, our pass defense has been one of the strengths of the team. There may be a lot of factors that have allowed us to have success in that area. But, you know, you want to get pressure on the quarterback. So this is going to be a real challenge. One of the keys to the game is, when we get pressure, can we contain? So that's a great point to bring up. What about Stanford's running game? Is this anything? Are they going to be able to line it up and run between the tackles on us?
You know, I don't believe so. I think it's going to be much tougher for them to do that, just from the standpoint that they're just so depleted overall. It's going to be important for them to really get and keep momentum. And outside of Pritchard, Stanford's offense is not very good. They're rated low in a lot of categories. Now, I realize I'm comparing them to a Notre Dame team that's ranked almost last in a lot of categories, but they really haven't been able to put in games that, in the two games that they've won, they've really needed help from their opponents to stay in the game. Against Southern Cal, I want to say, had tons and tons of penalty yards. And against Arizona's Arizona. So
they had five turnovers in that game, Mike, as the penalty yardage.
Yeah, so I think if Notre Dame could avoid shooting themselves in the foot, we should be able to get something done Saturday.
I think one of the keys that I'm looking for, we think we've seen progress in the offense, even in some losing efforts by Clawson. So if we could go out and have some kind of positive, some efficiency out of the offense, is that going to allow our defense to look better? Are we going to begin to see a complete effort? We've gone through these periods where we say, God, the D played pretty well, but they were put in impossible positions. The offense scored points for the other team and things like that. And we've also seen some games where the Navy game comes to mind. I know, Mike Sullivan, you disagree with me a little on this, but I just was very disappointed by the defensive effort there. If our offense is not a steady diet of three and out, are we going to see now the D with an effort and we look like a little more complete game? Regardless of the result, that's what I'm looking for. That is the win-loss result. I'm looking for that sort of overall complete game. They're helping each other out on the other side of the ball.
The offense has to help the defense out and vice versa. What has to happen in any football game, you know, it sounds simple, but you got to stop the run on defense and run the ball on offense. And maybe this game, even more so than maybe some other matchups we've had this year, because as Mike Coffey pointed out, you know, their quarterback's not going to stand in the pocket and pick us apart probably if he's going to make some plays with his legs more so than his arm. So we need to be able to not let them control the ball, move the chains, and we can't be playing catch up. You know, that's probably not the recipe for us. I'd love to see more of Robert Hughes. You hope Aldridge is healthy, and you want Armando Allen to get enough touches where he can do something. But, I mean, I think we all loved what Robert Hughes brought to the table last weekend. That well, continue. When you go on the road, I think you got to bring a great defense and a great running game. And we don't have either, but maybe we can find a little magic and eke out a win. Okay, let's flip it over to basketball at this point. So, Mike Coffey, tell us a little bit about the Austin Carr induction ceremony in the hall in the Basketball Hall of Fame in Kansas City. Is that right? You were in Kansas City?
It was,
I'm sure.
And Kansas City is lovely this time of year. But it was an outstanding event. I believe it will be televised, obviously on a tape delay, on ESPNU sometime in the coming weeks. I apologize, I don't know the exact date. But first of all, the new facility that they've built in Kansas City is absolutely gorgeous, a Sprint Center, which has the what is called the College Basketball Experience and Hall of Fame attached to it. And it is a beautiful, beautiful facility. They have the induction ceremony on the court, and just the way everything was put together was so well done. And everyone who's read my stuff on the internet knows that the most dangerous place to put me is in a brand new basketball facility, because then I start comparing and contrasting, and it's never a good thing. But overall, the ceremony was very, very nice. Austin was introduced by Collis Jones, his longtime friend and teammate. And the thing I found most interesting about it was when Austin spoke, you heard very little about his game. You heard a lot about his Notre Dame education and the friends he made and the way it affected his life. And I think that's really the unique thing to Notre Dame, that becomes an important aspect of your Notre Dame career. The other thing I found interesting was not only Austin Carr, but also Dick Barnett from Tennessee State, who was inducted, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who represented the founding class. They all talked about education and how important it is. And, you know, today's era of one-and-done players in basketball, Kareem especially was talking about how it was important to him to turn down the money and get the education. And Dick Barnett's so focused on education, he now has a doctorate in it and speaks to kids' groups around the country trying to impart to them the importance of being a well-rounded player and that there is life after basketball. And I found that whole vein to be very refreshing, sitting as we were in a place where you could make a lot of free throws or shoot last-minute three-point shots, that the people being inducted really had a respect for the educational part of their experience and wanted to make sure that the people who were there and maybe the folks who will eventually watch it on TV figured out how important that was. And
right. Well, you know, I think just the overall impact of Austin Carr on the Notre Dame program is, you know, huge, and certainly an honor like this is great for Notre Dame basketball. And I know, Mike, you in particular are a guy that is a huge supporter of Notre Dame basketball. So I know you must have been very excited to be there.
it was a great I got to see a lot of the older players like Jack Meehan and John Tracy and all those guys from Austin's era who were just out to celebrate him and what he meant to Notre Dame basketball. I think this is one of the – and I've talked about this a number of times on Indy Nation and the blogs and stuff, that this is one of the bad aspects of the Notre Dame program of the 90s. I think there was so much of what happened before that there was got disconnected, and people aren't nearly as in tune with that as they were. And I think it's important when a player like Austin Carr is inducted into the Hall of Fame that Notre Dame celebrate it. And I'm led to understand there will be an official recognition of it at the Pittsburgh game, because Austin does color for the Cleveland Cavaliers right now, and I believe they have a game in Indianapolis the previous night. So he's going to come up for the – I believe it's a Thursday game. I can't remember the exact date. But he's going to come up for the game against Pittsburgh, which my little schedule now tells me is February 21st. And Notre Dame will celebrate him and his achievements during that game. And I think
terrific.
That's fantastic
that
they're going to be doing that.
News.
I wish they would do it
before. And hopefully by that point we're going to be in the midst of a great run in the Big East Conference part of the schedule and get this thing turned around a little bit. Did you get a chance to watch anything from the Paradise Jam?
To be honest, I did not. Being in KC, I missed the game against Baylor and the game against Georgia Tech. But reviewing the write-ups and the stats, it really seems like the key thing was
problems
guard with
play
scoring.
Was not what we expected. Not certainly what it's going to need to be in the Big East. You know, it's great to have a strong post game with the Herengodian Kurs, and everybody knows how physical the Big East is. But you could always count on Big East teams that have great guard play too, dynamic guards, and we're going to need a little more production and efficiency out of those guys. So, okay, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. We want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I hope everybody has a safe and joyous holiday weekend, and let's hope that we can celebrate a Notre Dame victory, two Notre Dame victories on Saturday, both for men's basketball and, of course, against Stanford Saturday afternoon. And that game will be on ESPN. It's been switched from ABC to ESPN. You've been listening to Dome and Domer.
Absolutely.
If you have any questions, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com. For Mike Coffey and Ed Sullivan, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.